Well, if you have been set free, then you know a little something about the message in that song. He had to reach way down for you. Say, well, he just kind of had to reach a little bit down for me. Well, no, you came out of the same pit we came out of. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, the Lord is good.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to do something. You know, in the world, there's a saying, you get what you pay for. Right? And we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. You read John 17, and you'll find that Jesus said, you know, he said, I pray for these that are in the world. He said, now, they're not of the world, but they're in the world. And that's us, brethren. We're in the world, all right? And God has something for us to do. I'm going to preach a very important message to you tonight. Now, every message that's preached from the Bible is very important. But this message tonight is about God's direction for your life. I want you to look in verse number 8, where after David, we've been studying the last couple of Sunday evenings in Psalm 32. And we saw how David is now in verse 1. He said, you know, he said, the man whose transgression is forgiven, he's a blessed man. He said, you know, there was a time when I didn't realize that because I was silent in verse number 3. I wouldn't confess my sin. I wouldn't come clean with God. I was under the heavy burden, and it was affecting every aspect of my life, my body, my soul, my spirit. And he said, now that I've confessed my sin, I realize what it is to be clean and what it is to be set free as far as the captivity of the Christians. See, there's a lot of Christians like the children of Israel. Though they were God's people, they were taken into captivity. There's a lot of captive Christians today. In captivity because of yielding to the world and the flesh and the devil. And so David said, I was there, but now I'm free. And he said, I want to tell you, it's just a wonderful place to be, is in the hiding place. You see that in verse number 7? He said, thou art my hiding place. Amen. What a wonderful place to be. The song, when the tempest, I do flee. Amen. That's where you hear God's voice. That's where God speaks to you, ministers to you, and tells you secrets in the night, brethren. You listening to me? Amen. That's where it's at. Amen. And now David, after he said, I found some things, and then he said, I got my song back. You know, I told you this morning how that in Psalm 86, it was talking about how that they were coming back from captivity in Babylon. They had hung their harps upon the willow trees, and they lost their song. They said, sing us a song of Zion, one of those songs from Zion, like we have in our world today. These world entertainers, they want to sing Amazing Grace at their concerts. You know, sing us a song of Zion. It'll soothe us, and maybe they do it out of ridicule, but you know, the Christian has no song in the world. You lose your song as a captive. And that's what David is saying. He said, you lose your song. But here, David had lost his song. But I want you to notice what he said in verse number 7. He said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I'm no longer in captivity. I'm experiencing the liberty that comes from being set free from the bondage of living in the world as a Christian. You see. And he said, I have a song of deliverance. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But there's right after that, I want to speak to you on this next verse here. Where God says, okay, David, now, I will instruct you. David said, I'm forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. He said, my sin is covered in verse 1. He said in verse 2, he said, the Lord hath not imputed mine iniquity. There was a time when all of this was mounting up on me, but now I'm free from that. And I'm in the will of God. I'm walking with God again. I'm in my hiding place. I'm in communion with the Lord. I'm fellowshipping with God. And God tells David, write this down. Write this down, David. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a promise. What a promise. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to go topical. You know what that means? That means I'm going to have you to turn to some scripture, and I want you to turn with me, and I want to give you four things that will help you discern God's will for your life. See, we try to make God's will real hard. I would have to beg, you know, and plead and just search and dig, and almost like we're trying to find some kind of mysterious hidden treasure. But the Bible knows nothing of that. Nothing of that. See, God is very desirous of you and I as His children to know His will. Now, how many parents are there in the building tonight? Raise your hand. You say, I'm a parent. How many of you parents still have children in the home? Raise your hand. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. You parents, especially those who still have children in the home, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say. There's nothing more that you want for your child than them to know, number one, God's will, but number two, what your expectations and desires of them are. Right, parents? You want them to know. See, that's called instruction. A lot of parents get the correction part down, but they don't get the instruction part down, and that's why they're continuously correcting. Listen carefully. I've had parents tell me, you know, it just seems like I'm always giving my children spankings. You know, I'm always correcting. You need to start instructing, and then the correction will begin to back off. See, instruction must precede correction. You cannot correct a child for instruction you have not given them. Somebody say amen with me. You can do it, but it's a bad thing to do. Right? So see, God instructs us. When you read 2 Timothy, you'll find that God's word is profitable for correction, but it's also profitable for instruction. And so God's will, God's instruction for our lives is found in His word. Now, I'll give you four simple principles that will help you discern God's will for your life. Now, I don't know what God's will for your life is. I know what God's will for my life is. He's made it just as clear as me looking at your face tonight. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I tell you, I have really been begging and searching and digging and just prostrate on the floor and yearning. I just want to know God's will. Well, I'm glad you're that desirous to know God's will. But whoever told you that it was that hard to know God's will knows little to nothing about what this book teaches about God's will. I'm going to show you four simple instructions or principles. I want you to again look at verse number 8. God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now there's a promise. That's a threefold promise. And because of that, David said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright. You know, now that you've been forgiven, now that your sin is covered, now that God is not imputing your iniquity unto you, listen, he said, shout for joy. You can receive instruction and direction from God again. You don't have to wander around aimlessly wondering, am I doing right? Am I doing what God wants me to do in life? You see, the only way that you or I or any of us are going to have true fulfillment and purpose in life is to do God's will. The reason that there are so many dissatisfied, disgruntled Christians is because so many Christians are just floating and wandering around out of God's will. And I want to tell you tonight an encouragement. You do not have to be outside of God's will. So I want you to see, first of all, if you're here and you are not in God's will, or you're concerned that you are in God's will, or you're just uncertain, the first thing I want you to notice, now you got to make it right. Blessed is the man, verse 1, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Now, you can't be deceptive. You can't think, I'll just cover my sin. And this is what David's talking about. He addresses it in the next verse, verse 3. He said, I was trying to cover. I thought I could outmaneuver and outsmart God. See, that's how weak our minds are. We think we can outmaneuver God. You might outmaneuver a man or two, but you're not going to outmaneuver God. You might play games and you might pull one over on your parents or your spouse or your preacher, but you're not going to pull one over on God. Say amen with me, folks. So David said, now, listen, he said, I want you to know, you got to make it right. But the good thing is God's made provision to make it right. We talked about the transgression. We talked about the sin. We talked about the iniquity. And then we talked about how God dealt with each one. With the transgression, he forgave it. With the sin, he covered it. With the iniquity, he did not impute it. And now God said, David, I want to guide you again. See, when you have and I have, when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, brethren, we get outside of God's will and God's guidance, and we're not hearing his voice like we should hear his voice. We're not communing with him as we should commune with him. And it's a very dangerous place to be. I want to make some statements and then I'll give you these principles. The first statement I want to make, for those of you that are sitting here tonight that you have been told or you have been made to believe or you just took it upon yourself to believe it for whatever reason you would want to do this, God's will is not a terrible thing. God does not want to punish you by you doing his will. See, there's a lot of people that when you start talking about God's will, they get scared. And they automatically begin to think, oh my goodness, you know, if I do God's will, I'll be burned at the stake. I'll be drugged through the cities. I'll be the most unhappy person in all the world. Not if you do God's will. Can I tell you, the devil's lied to you. Those are the things that just might happen to you if you don't do God's will. How many fathers in here get really angry at your sons when they do what you tell them to do? How many get really angry at your children when they obey you and they delight in doing what you tell them to do? Can I tell you, our Heavenly Father, he's delighted when we do what he says to do. He's pleased when we do what he says to do. Now, I'm not saying if you do God's will, you might not suffer. But if you do, God will give you grace for that suffering. If you go through hardships, God will give you grace. Paul went through them. He said, God, remove this thorn. God, take this away from me. He said, I'm not going to do it. But I tell you what I will do. I'll give you my grace, Paul, and my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen? So please don't think, as we talk about God's will tonight, don't sit there and shiver and say, oh my goodness, I sure hope that I don't get revealed to me how to get in God's will, because just as sure as I'm sitting here, if I get in God's will, something terrible might happen to me. Something terrible might happen to you if you don't. So don't listen to the lie of the devil now. That's a ploy of the devil. The greatest place for you and I to be as believers is inside the will of God. I'd rather be in the will of God, away from everyone and anything I know, than to be in the will of God around everyone and everything I know. I just want to be in God's will. I just believe that's where there's peace and purpose and tranquility upon the teachings of this book. Principle number one, you're going to have to turn quickly with me. You ready? Romans chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to give you the first principle, and that's called the will principle. Write that down, would you? Can I ask you a question? Is your will reconciled to God's will? Is it? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've come and you said, God, anytime, anything, any cost, I'm yours. I am turning myself over to you. God, you bought me with the price. I'm not my own. I belong to you. God, you send me anywhere. You ask me to do anything. I'm at your service. I'm yours. I belong to you. You bought me. God, you own me. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything at any cost. All I ask is you go with me. You ever done that? If you've never done that, you need to do that. You listen, you say, well, as soon as God shows me his will, preacher, I'm going to kind of review it like I'm hiring him, and I'm going to say, let's see, God. Some of this looks good. I just don't know about some of this. Now, if you'll make this and this change, I might do your will. Here, see what you can do for me. You're never going to know and do God's will. Never. See, God's will is not for you and I to examine and then make a decision on. God wants you right now to yield your will to his will before you even know his will. Do you trust him? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Do you trust him? If you trust Him, you've trusted Him with your soul if you're saved, surely you can trust Him with your life. Amen? Amen. You've trusted Him with eternity. Surely you can trust Him with time. You trust Him? Romans 12, you there? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. See, this is God telling Paul, beg them. Beg them. That's how important this is. This is not saying you beg God. This is God saying, Paul, tell them, I'm begging. I want you to know my will so much, I beseech you. That's what the word beseech means, to earnestly plead with, to beg. I'm begging you, Christian. I'm begging you, God says through His man, Paul. See, we've got it mixed up. We've been taught, or we've been made to believe, or we've just conjured up in our own minds, I've got to just beat the ground and beat my fist till it's bloody, or crawl on the floor until my knees are all scratched up. If I'm ever to know the will of God, I've got to beg and plead and beg and plead and hunt and dig and search. No! God said, I'm begging you. Is that what He said? I beseech you, Christian. I beseech you, therefore, Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Have you surrendered your will? We're talking about the will principle. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You ever heard somebody say, and you've heard this before, maybe you've said it before, I'm willing to die for Jesus. I've said it before. I hope I mean that. You never know until you're put in that situation. But I think God's far more concerned about me living for Him than He is dying for Him. Now, there may come a time that I may be called upon to recant my faith or die. I don't know. But for now, what I need to be concerned about is living for Him, not dying for Him. And here, God said, Paul, tell them, I'm begging them, by my mercies, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, living now, holy, acceptable unto God. See, that's where David was getting to in his psalm, holy and acceptable. If you're not willing to live clean and righteous and keep God's commandments, you're not going to stay in God's will very long. Amen. Got to confess your sin. You say, well, preacher, I sin every day. You too. Yeah. Got to keep short accounts. That's right. Is that what it says? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that we would do God's will. Isn't that what the songwriter said on that first song? Isn't it? Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Right? Because of the debt that's been paid for us that we could not pay, it's just reasonable that we would give our lives unto Him. He gave His life for us. That's why Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. We're talking about God's will, reconciling our will with God's will. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. There it is. You've got to reconcile your will to God's will. God, I'll do whatever. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I want to know what your purpose for my life is. Do you really want to know that? See, I'll tell you what the problem is in America, and I'm not, I'm for ambition. But now you have to be careful with ambition. Some people get this American dream, and they get driven by the American dream rather than the will of God. Don't get them mixed up. All right? Don't get them mixed up. And so here it is. Now, he said, I want you. He said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you that you would bring yourself in obedience to God's will. So it's really not a matter of finding God's will. It's just doing right and God's will being revealed to you. Is that what he's saying? Read it again. There's people saying, I'm just searching for the will of God. Well, just do right. God's will will find you. I guarantee you. You just do what's right. We get so concerned about the little minute details. You know what? Just do right. God's will to find you if you do right. Is that right, brethren? How many folks in here have been called to do something for God? Just raise your hand and say, God purposely called me to do something. I don't mean just preach, but just do something. Look around you. God spoke to me and called me to do something. I guarantee you go to some of these folks after the service and they'll tell you, if you're not careful, you'll overthink this thing to death. You'll pick it to death. Just do right. Stay on course. Reconcile your will. Say, God, anytime, anywhere, any cost, I'm willing to do what you want me to do with this life that you give me. And you won't have to be searching and crawling and begging and hunting. No, it'll find you. Amen. So the will. The Bible says in Psalm 37 in verse number 4, delight thou also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You believe that? I do. I do. Have you reconciled your will? Have you? Are you willing to do it now? Really willing to do it? God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I so want to know what your purpose for my life is. I'm willing to do it. You say, well, I'm going to wait until I find out what God wants me to do before I resign to that preacher. Well, wait a minute now. That's not reconciling your will to God's will. All right? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Principle number 2. I told you these were simple. We've just complicated I tell you, don't we human beings, we have a way of complicating the simple things of God. We just do. If we're not careful, we'll talk to people about being saved and they'll be looking at us with their eyes just going around and around like, what in the world? Hey, you're a sinner. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you, was buried, rose again the third day. You repent of your sin and you can be saved. There's no need in giving a 45-minute dissertation on the three words for sin, transgression, sin, iniquity, and going. Listen, we have so complicated the simple things of God that people, if they wanted to get right with God, they wouldn't know what to do, where to start. The same with the will of God. Number 2, you ready? So we have the will principle. The will principle. We say, well, preacher, now if I do that, I just know God's will is going to be hard. I want to give you some scripture now. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said, you come unto me. He said, you come, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Is that what he said? Amen. And he went on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy. Did you get that? My yoke is easy. Doing the will of God is not some strenuous thing that you get drugged through life hanging on saying, oh, I'm so sorry I'm doing this. But I'm saved, so I guess I have to. That's not what doing the will of God is. My yoke is easy. You know what getting in the yoke with a beast, an oxen is, don't you? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm not saying there won't be work. I'm not saying there won't be some hardship, some trouble spots. But thank God you're in the yoke with the master. The will principle. Number 2, the word principle. The word principle. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians just for a moment in chapter 4. You say, now, preacher, what do you mean by the word principle? Well, I'm telling you that you need to get in the Bible. That I need to read the Bible a lot more than I do. And that you need to read the Bible. We need to stay in the Word of God. A chapter a day is not going to cut it. Now, if you read a chapter a day, God bless you. That's better than not reading anything. But we're going to have to get in this book right here. Let me tell you the way a lot of Christians miss God's will. So I've had them come to me and say, preacher, me and so-and-so, we're just in love, and we just feel like that it's God's will for her to get birth control. Now, we're not married, but we think that we're mature enough to handle that aspect of our relationship. Not married, but we just think that, you know, with the way things are and the way things are changing. What do you think? I think that you need to get your heart right with God is what I think. Well, What does the Bible say about it? How can I know the will of God on matters? Well, look at 1 Thessalonians, if you would, in chapter number 4. Look at verse number 3. For this is the will of God. Hey, your antennas ought to go up. Your antennas ought to go up. Oh, God's got his will about something. I want to know what God's will is. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants you to be separate. God wants you to be set apart. And one way to do that, listen to me, in this age of promiscuity, of sexual immorality, now listen, I'm not indicting anyone. This could be for married, unmarried. You begin to look at this word that we're going to look at in verse number 3, where it says that ye should abstain from fornication. That word comes from the word porneia, which we get our word pornography from. And so before we start pointing to some of these good young people in our church and saying, well, the preacher's talking to these good young people. Well, I'm warning them, but I want to talk to some of us older people. Be careful what your eyes get on. Be careful where you roam on a website or what you look at in a magazine. Say amen with me. Hey, fornication. The Bible says abstain from it. That's just not for young unmarried folks. Amen. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. You say, preacher, I'm fired up. I want to know the will of God for my life. Then God said, you stay pure in your heart and in your mind, and certainly in your body. You say, well, I need somebody to pray with me about that. You don't need anyone to pray with you about that. What you need to do is you need to pray and say, God, you said it, I want to do it. Amen. He went on to say this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. See, that's the will of God. That's the will of God. How do you find that? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Turn over just maybe one page. You might just go across the page depending on how large the print in your Bible is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 18. In everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. For this is the will of God. Can't get any more clear than that. It's God's will for us to be thankful people. So I've given you God's will for your life in two areas. Number one, God wants you to be morally clean. And number two, God wants you to be eternally grateful. Amen. God wants us to be clean, thankful people. That's God's will for your life. Is that all, preacher? Oh, I could show. And I'm just going to, just let me give you a few. You know what you ought to do? You ought to take that little phrase, will of God, go all the way through the Bible. You'll be amazed how many things that you won't have to ask the preacher about, that you won't have to wonder about, because God's already said, this right here is my will for your life. I'll give you one that I know you know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You say, well, man, that's good. What's that got to do with me? That means you need to get busy witnessing. That means we need to start giving more to missions. If it's God's will for all men to be saved, and 2 Peter 3:9 says that it's not that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that what the book says, brethren? Then we need to start getting people saved. We need to start witnessing. We need to start getting a burden and a concern for souls. See, that's God's will. When we talk about God's will, it doesn't necessarily mean something we do to earn money or income. It's something we do in service. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. God wants me to be clean. God wants you to be clean. God wants me to be thankful. God wants you to be thankful. God wants me to be witnessing. God wants you to be witnessing. You doing God's will? Listen, if God keeps telling you what his will is and you don't do it, what do you do when you keep telling your children to do something and they don't do it? Well, I know what some of you do. It's obvious. I'm just kidding. Hey, what do you do? Is it okay for God just to keep telling you to do it? And do it, and keep telling me to do it, and we don't do it? Let's look at a couple more, and then we'll go to the next principle, all right? Let's see, which one I want to look at? Let's look at 1 Peter. I like that other point better. 1 Peter, you there? 1 Peter? Got to turn quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 15. So is the will of God. Has your antennas gone up? Here's some things that's the will of God right here, brethren. You ready now? This is the will of God. So is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That Christian life ain't nothing to it. That fairy tale God that got up in the sky, he can't change anything. If they've been watching your life closely, they know that God has sure changed your life. Amen. God's done a 180 on you. Say amen with me, folks. This is what Peter's saying. Peter said, listen, you want to silence the critics? Live the book. It's God's will. It's God's will. 2 Peter 2:15, and so is the will of God, that with well-doing, just do well. Just do right. Just do right. That's part of God's will. Let me give you one more, and then we'll move on, okay? One more. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about the word principle. All right, the word principle. The will principle is you've got to reconcile your will. Now listen, don't mess up now. Don't write down what you want to do and hand it to God and say, God, I want you to approve this. That is not getting God's will for your life. Everybody say amen with me now. That is not getting God's will for your life. That's the way a lot of folks want it to happen. Is I'm going to write down what I want in life and I'm going to hand it to God and ask him to stamp approved on it and then give it back to me and I'll go doing it. That is not God's will for your life. It's God showing you what he wants you to do. It's revealing to you as you say, God, I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever, whatever it costs. God, I'm yours. I'll do it. And God said, okay, now we can work. And God will begin through his word. Once the will is surrendered, God will begin to speak through his word. And he'll begin to show you through his word what his will for your life is. Ephesians chapter 5, if you're there, look if you would in verse number 15. Ephesians 5 verse 15. If you'll look just for a moment in verse number 7, Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, it talks about, for this is the will of God. In verse number 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Your radar up? You listening? God said, you don't have to be unwise. Just understand what the will of the Lord is. Go back where he said in verse number 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, that ties right in with be not unwise in verse 17. You know what God wants you and I to do? Walk circumspectly. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means upright. Walk upright. See, God has expectations of us, doesn't he? He does. He has a right to have expectations of us. And so he said, walk circumspectly. That's the will of God, not as fools. Look at verse number 16. God said, it's my will that you not be a time waster, redeeming the time because the days are evil. God doesn't want you wasting time. God doesn't want you just piddling through life. God wants you to have purpose and direction. That's God's will for every one of his children. That's God's will for everybody. Purpose and direction. So I think God's called me just to hang out, preacher. God didn't call you to hang out. If you're hanging out, God's not the one who called you to do it. Amen? Look again at verse number 16. Redeeming the time. That means buying it up, bottling it up. Don't waste time. Don't be a time waster. Time wasters get in trouble. Piddlers, listen to me. Piddlers. When I was growing up, the old timers used to have a saying that idle time is the devil's workshop. How many of you ever heard that saying? Raise your hand. Brethren, it came from a biblical principle. It came from a biblical principle. You'll find yourself, when you spend your time unwisely, you'll find yourself with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. And so he said in verse number 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And look at the very next phrase, a verse. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I tell you, it's God's will for every Christian to be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will. You say, well, it's not my desire to be. Well, that means because you're not in tune with God. because it's God's will for every Christian to be filled with the Spirit. Did you know when the Apostle Paul got saved, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit? I think sometimes we think you have to be some kind of spiritual giant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Paul was a newborn babe in Christ, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. As long as you're willing to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and surrender your will to God's will, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the will principle. You check it off. Is your will? Is my will? Is it surrender to God's will? Are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do? Anywhere, anytime, any cost. It's got to happen. So, in a preacher, I'm not there yet. I don't know that you're going to know God's will then. And you can. But now you're going to have to come on God's terms. The will principle. Number two, the word principle. The word principle. Get in the word over and over again. God reveals his will to his people in his word. Do you see the pattern here? First, your will's got to be in line. And then you get in word. And now we're going to move to our third one, the wisdom principle. The wisdom principle. See, once your will is surrendered and you get in God's word, God will begin to give you wisdom about what his will is. That's why he said in Ephesians 5, he said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God will give you wisdom. God will talk to you. God ever talk to you? Aren't you glad God talks to his people? Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, God talked to you?" Right. I still can't get over these silly people on The View laughing. And I don't watch The View, by the way. I just seen this clip. For those of you who are wondering, you know, for inquiring minds, I don't watch The View. This clip where they were laughing at our vice president for saying that he talked to God and God talked to him. See, that's the unnatural mind. I can't be too hard on them, though, because there was a time in my unregenerate life that I thought it was crazy for people to say that they talked to God or that angels were protecting them. I used to mock and make fun. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. But I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. I'm ashamed. But I'm glad God had mercy on me.
Amen. Amen.
It taught me better. He talks to me. God talked to you. You say, "Preacher, what's so big about that? Are you kidding me?" When's the last time God talked to you? That's the most humbling thing in all of life, that the God of heaven would talk to me. How humbling is that? That God would talk to me and reveal things to me and use me. I'm so glad I get to serve God. It's the highest privilege in all of heaven and earth. I get to serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's a privilege to be called his servant. It's a privilege. I'm at his bidding. I just want to do whatever he would have me to do. The wisdom principle. Because of time, we won't turn there. In Acts chapter 1, you'll remember this story where the disciples were looking to fill the slot that was left available by the death of Judas. They knelt on their face before God and they said, "God, we just want to know. God, we just want to know. Show us." That's Acts 1, verse 23 and 24. "God, show us. We got these two guys. We don't know." Well, the Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And they ask. We have a right to ask. Right? We have a right to ask. God's invited us. "Ask me. Call unto me. Call unto me. I'll answer you. And I'll show you great mighty things." God said, "I'll give you wisdom to make decisions as you go along in my will." They just want to do what's right. And so they ask. They ask. Acts chapter 8. The Spirit of God called Philip down to Gaza, to the desert. And he looked out and he saw this caravan traveling through the desert. In verse number 29, the Spirit of God talked to Philip. Just like he'll talk to you. Just like he talks to me. God will tell you what to do if you'll listen. Right? Sometimes we ask God what to do and then we quit listening. We ask God what to do, and then we go on with life and do what we want to do. And God's saying, hey, listen, I'll tell you what to do if you'll listen. Don't ask me what to do and then not listen to me. Amen? And he said, hey, Philip, you done what I said when I told you to come down here. He said, now you're ready for your next instruction. Right? Go join yourself to that chariot. You know what Philip did? You do know what he did, don't you? He ran. God talked to Philip. Wisdom. God will give you wisdom. He'll make it just as clear to you. Philip didn't have to have a preacher say, now, Philip, this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to go over and witness to that guy. No. The Spirit of God told Philip to do that. The Spirit of God will tell you what to do too. He will. Philip went over there and led that man to the Lord. You know, right? You know what historians say? Now, the Bible doesn't say this. I want to make this very clear. The Bible doesn't say this. But church historians say that because that Ethiopian eunuch got saved, he went back and northern Africa heard the gospel and many were converted to Christ. Because Philip listened to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Goes on and on and on, brethren. If we'll listen. See, that's what I'm learning about fasting. I read something a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, it just really spoke to my heart. I'm going to give you this principle. We'll come back and we'll pick up here on this wisdom principle. Before I give you this thing I read about fasting, just so you'll know, there was a man by the name of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 7, and he was building the wall, rebuilding the wall. And I mean, he had a task before him. And you know what he said? He said, the Lord, in Nehemiah 7 verse 5, he said, the Lord put it in my heart on which noblemen and people to choose. See, God will put things on your heart if you'll listen. He will. God ever put anything on your heart? Has he? God ever told you what to do? See, we think this is charismatic. Can I tell you that born-again, Bible-believing Baptists were doing this long before the charismatic movement even came along? They were people that understood what it was to have a conversation with God, communion with the God of heaven. And if we're not careful, our children will grow up and they won't know anything about this. This is Bible teaching about the will of God. The will principle. Bring yourself in reconciliation to God's will and say, God, you own me. If you're saved, you've been bought with a price. And I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go at any cost. I'm yours. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. You want me to go across the street? I'll go across the street. You want me to go across the state? I'll go across the state. You want me to go across the sea? I'll go across the sea. God, I'll go anywhere you send me. Because I know doing your will is the greatest thing I can do in my life. It's the way to find fulfillment and purpose in life. The will principle. Number two, the word principle. Can I encourage you to read the word? Remember, I don't know, it was about a year ago, Sister Sheila asked me not long ago about it. She said, I like that when we was reading 10 chapters a day. You can read the entire New Testament in 26 days if you just read 10 chapters a day. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament. 26 days. You can read the New Testament every month if you want to. Just got to read 10 chapters a day. You say, 10 chapters a day, preacher. Well, you probably watch a couple hours of TV. You can read 10 chapters of the Bible today. Right? I don't watch no couple hours of TV. Well, you can find a couple hours. Listen, you can find 10 chapters, 45 minutes maybe. Depends on how long the chapters are. We make out like reading the Bible is this laborious, just, boy, it's just so hard, you know. Nah. Not when we approach it right. The Word, and then the wisdom. The wisdom principle. The wisdom principle. Let God speak to your heart. Let God do a work in your life. All right? Let's stand to our feet and I'll give you my final thought. The wisdom principle. I want to encourage you to do something. I'm not going to ask you how many of you fast. I don't think it's something you ought to make public. And sometimes you have to mention it, but I just don't think we ought to go around talking about, you know, all long face, you know, I'm just fasting and, you know, praying and, you know, the wee hours of the morning. I think that that's something between a man and God or a lady and God. All right? But I read something by a man who, and it really stuck with me, and it's challenged me. And I think it'll be a help to you. Here's what this man of God said, old timer. He said, fasting tunes our spiritual ears to listen because it blocks out the physical. There's so many voices in our physical ear, and there's so many needs of our physical body. When we begin to buff the body, when we begin to bring it down through the act of fasting, it heightens the spiritual sensitivity to where we can be in a greater tune with God's voice. And I fasted some, not near as I should. And I know some of you fasted. We've had seasons of fasting prayer here. And it's like God said, that's it. And if you've done fasting, you know that is so true. It's just like there's an in tune with God like there's not when you're not fasting. I want to encourage you to fast. Okay? Now, I can't tell you how to fast and how long to fast. I don't know your physical situation. But I want to encourage you to fast and pray. All right? Get in tune. Get in touch with the God of heaven. What do you need in your life? Maybe you need the will of God. Maybe you say, preacher, I've got some serious decisions to make. It may be personal. It may be financial. It may be vocational. I don't know. It may be spiritual. I want to encourage you to talk to God about it. God, I want to know your will. Above everything else, I want to know your will in this matter. God will show you his will. He will. He will. But now, when you approach him, make sure that your will is reconciled to his will. God, I want to know your will because I want to do your will. Right? All right. Let's bow our heads together.